We're going to go through, we're finishing the last chapter in the book, and that's on prejudice. John, who wants to kind of come up with what is prejudice? And I don't care, you can use the book as a cheat if you want. Go ahead, John. Prejudice. What's prejudice?
Forming an opinion of something with unrighteous judgment or not knowledgeable judgment for the reason you have an opinion.
Okay. Does everybody agree with that? Chris? What would you change? What would you add? That isn't what we want to be. Okay, three times. Okay, this is what our author has at the beginning of the chapter. It is the lock of the door of a closed mind. It is the ignorance we usually mistake for reasoning. It is the first enemy of information and progress. It is intellectual antagonism. It is a perfect combination of conceit and arrogance. It is the defense of the devil, shell of the petrified mind, in the ceiling of understanding, prejudice. Anybody have any thoughts or anything that they would like to kind of start the class with, going over what we went over last week? Anything that you thought of over this last week in the idea of prejudice? John?
I have a question that arose from last week. When we did, a few weeks ago, we did a lesson on hate. And normally when you hear hate, you think negative. It's like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Then we found out, no, there is, you know, you should hate sin. There's things you should hate. And at first of this class, you'd mentioned that there was positive prejudice and negative prejudice. You'd read a definition or something, and it's like, I can't find a positive one. And I don't know what that came from.
Okay. That...
There it is, favorable or unfavorable.
Right.
So favorable would be prejudiced against someone giving them favorable opinions of something that's not just or not.
Right. Okay. A preconceived opinion or feeling, either favorable or unfavorable. So it's an opinion or feeling you have towards something, someone, situation, or whatever.
Would that be like what we were talking about in the South, when you know, the issue of black and white, if there is in certain states, and a favorable one, which is not a good one, but it would still be wrong, would be, oh, if you think blacks are better, they're stronger, you know, so they're better. That would be a favorable one, but it would still be a negative.
I mean, yeah, it's not a negative feeling towards something. It would be a favorable, but it's kind of putting a blanket general statement on everything, where, so what would be the opposite of that situation? A preconceived opinion or feeling, either favorable or unfavorable. What's the opposite of that? I mean, it's like, so we would call that prejudice, and the opposite would be unprejudice, right? Which is what? Chris? What's the opposite of being prejudiced? It's being unprejudiced. Okay. I said that. That's the easy part. What is the opposite? Troy? So what are you doing? You've got something, you have a preconceived idea, and... Okay, wow, this is going way different than I was planning on going. Okay.
Supposed to have an open mind.
Let's go. Okay, let's start here. Prejudice towards the truth. Okay, and I did this other slide here just to kind of emphasize. I think this is something that we really need to. This is what I kind of want us to focus on, or really get the idea of. And it's not working. Okay, this is for emphasis. I thought it was kind of cool, but for emphasis. Do not forget that an honest man alters his opinion to fit the truth, whereas a prejudiced man alters the truth to fit his opinion. So is not being prejudiced having a opinion about whatever? Isn't that right? So I have a preconceived opinion about something. Boy, you guys are making me go way different than I wanted to go. We need to avoid prejudging people, being prejudiced towards, because of race. Is that a prejudice? We think of racial prejudice, intellectual levels, financial status, occupations, age. Do people have prejudice in those fields?
Yes.
At work, where I work, I'm obviously one of the elder there. And there's a group of us that, you know, the old men of the building. There's three of us that kind of work in an area together, and they were called the three old men and stuff like that. But, and this is my prejudice, the work ethic of that generation, our generation, is like, we're always doing something. We're always busy. Even when we have nothing to do, we try to find something to do. And I look at some of the younger individuals, a younger generation, and it's like, you know, they'll slough off whenever they can and not get busy until somebody tells them, go find something to do or do something. So my thought of that generation is they're a bunch of slackers. Is that a prejudice? Is that being prejudiced? Preconceived idea towards that generation. Is everybody in that generation fit that? Is that a definition of everybody in that generation?
No, 80% of them.
Okay, but it's not.
But there's still a percentage that is not that way. And you're grouping everybody in that age group into this, what you have seen from a few, you're putting all of them in that same area.
Okay, so reverse that. Reverse that. Take a younger generation, the millennials or whatever, and what is their thought or feelings or preconceived ideas or prejudice to the seniors?
Age.
What's that?
Age.
Oh, what?
If they're calling you old men, that would probably be age.
Okay.
Just maybe better shape than some of them.
Okay. Anything else? I mean, they're a bunch of old guys. They don't know anything.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that something you hear from a younger generation? It's like, They're a bunch of old
fogies. Around you if I wanted to.
Yeah. But again, a prejudice going the other way. Racial prejudice. Is that a one-way thing only?
No.
Blacks prejudice against white, or whites prejudice against blacks, or Orientals, or whatever. And that can go any different way. So we need to avoid prejudging people. Prejudging people would be what? A prejudice that I have towards that. Financial status. Financial status. James chapter 1. James chapter 2. James 2, verse 1. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Or what? Or prejudicial thoughts. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you sit over there or sit down at my footstool. Have you not made distinction among yourselves and become judged with evil motives? True. I mean, isn't that a form of being prejudiced towards those of financial, you know, I want to get on their good side. I might get something out of it. But again, could that be turned around the other way? Occupation. What would be a prejudice situation as one to occupation? Ever heard a lawyer story? Troy.
Well, I was a janitor in the school district.
Okay.
With the teachers that all had the education over the top of me. You know, I chose through my actions to break down those walls, but that doesn't always happen.
Right. Again, that's a prejudice situation. Yeah. Yeah. age, intellectual level. You know, somebody with I guess that's kind of the same situation that way as well. So prejudice exists out there, and it exists in many different forms, many different situations, and it goes back and forth either way, right? So how do you overcome that? So we need to avoid prejudging people. We need to do that. So instead of taking everybody and putting them in that hole, what do we do? Take a person out and you look at the person as the person. John.
So many people do, and me included, we say we're not prejudiced in that, you know, race, intellectual, you know, your job or how much money you have or your age. You know, I think, okay, I'm not prejudiced, but what do we usually do when we walk up to someone and we don't know them? Hey, what do you do for a living? Or what, you know, it's right off, it's things that don't matter in really life. It's what really matters is, you know, your standing in faith and your word and your spiritually, and not all these physical things and, you know, physical world. They matter, but that's the first thing we ask. We
don't right. Well, that's like here in James. What is this person doing? They're prejudging on what? Somebody walks in.
On visual.
Just a visual, just eyesight, just looking at. Haven't spoken a word, haven't said anything, just walked in. Two individuals, one dressed really nice and another one sandals, flip-flops, cutoffs on, sleeveless t-shirt, walks in. I bet you everybody in this room has an opinion or thinks something, probably without even knowing it. think that thought and then get rid of it and individual. Chris.
But just because you ask that question doesn't mean that you being prejudiced. I think it's important to ask those questions because, especially with people that you might not know, because you're starting to build a relationship with them and you're showing an interest in them, and if you, depending on how you approach that person, the spiritual is important, but we also have to find just some common ground, and that's just a small talk of the beginning of a conversation in a relationship. So just because you ask, you know, what's your occupation, or how old are you, or where are you from, it doesn't automatically mean that we're being prejudiced. You know, that's up to us to control how we receive that information.
Right. You're getting information. And what do you do with that information? Is working with the prejudice that you have. You ask that question, what do you do? And somebody says, I'm a janitor in the school district. What do you do with that information? Do you form an opinion on them because they're a janitor? Or do you keep the conversation going and make it? This is kind of the idea of the negative connotation that John's talking about. One definite prejudice is an irrational attitude of hostility directed toward an individual, a group, a race, or their supposed characteristics. And I think that's kind of the idea we think of prejudice, is again in that negative aspect.
Do we have a prejudice or a feeling if somebody tells us that they are Mormon or Jehovah Witness or gay?
So what about personal lifestyle? Kenny? What?
It's funny, sometimes I think you and Dad talked before I thought.
Personal lifestyle, yes, I mean...
Personal lifestyle.
Somebody tells me that they are gay, then I am most of the time very standoffish, especially if it was a guy telling me that, because then I'm worried about him being interested in me. You know, I don't know, it's just, for me, it's more difficult.
Okay, so let's go back to Chris, and he's got this person back here, and he started this conversation, and he finds out that this person is a teacher. He's a teacher, and he keeps the conversation going, and he comes to find out that this person has an alternative lifestyle. Now what? Chris?
What did the Bible say? That's when we turn to the Bible and open the scriptures. And I mean, there's probably a tactful way to go about it, but that's where we need to go. That we need to sit down and study that.
Other thoughts, John?
I agree.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so again, Chris, what would you do in that situation? So I mean, it's a situation so an alternative lifestyle, talking about things that are in our society now, is the transgenders, the homosexuals, the gays, and all that kind of stuff. Putting it into a spiritual realm, putting it into the world in which we live in as a congregation, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that situation is what? That situation is?
That it's an abomination. The sin is what we hate, not the individual. So we would have to teach that individual that in God's eyes, the way they're living is against the way God tells us to live.
Okay. John? I agree.
Well, I think what Chris said was right, and I mean both of them were right. You would have to build a relationship. You do have to know how to approach someone like that, because you know some people you would say, hey, look, the Bible says this. You shouldn't be doing that, and they would accept it. Another person would just turn around and walk out, and you'd never see them again. You'd have to get to know the person, like Chris said. I mean, I realized that when I said earlier about, and so many people do think of these things first before spiritually, and I don't mean that you should ever neglect, you know, finding out about people. But you have to find out about people to know where to start. And I think every person's individual is going to be a different place for that situation.
Okay. So in this situation here, that situation is sin. It's wrong. So do we have a prejudice against that? Or, Larry?
Well, the prejudice comes in when you... you're in that situation, you say, well, this isn't a good candidate for the gospel. Here's a person who's living in sin, and something either he's saying or doing, and you're talking to him, and you are forming these opinions that this would go nowhere with him. I'm not going to try to teach him the gospel. That's prejudice.
Okay.
But for me to... or if someone walked in and they're dressed weird... Let's say that they have some effeminate behaviors, and you make a judgment that this guy's a homo, just like that. I mean, that's prejudice.
Okay.
That's forming an opinion.
That's going back on an irrational attitude or how it's directed towards an individual or their supposed characteristics, for their characteristics. And what information do you have on that individual? And again, it goes back to the end of it. Chris?
I'll finish.
Huh?
You can finish.
No, I'm going to flip the page here.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about this last week and how another way that people might define prejudice in a spiritual application, and I've seen it where a person is speaking boldly or speaking with confidence, and that person being labeled prejudiced because they speak God's word in a sense that there is no other, right? And even for the, maybe you could call it an opinion or just an understanding of the scripture that one might have, the way it's spoken is labeled prejudice, because I'm set in my mind and I'm set in my ways, and my thoughts were that that's not prejudice, that's not being prejudiced, that's speaking God's word, is speaking His word. The oracle to God, and speaking as God would speak. What would be? There's a fine line in there, I believe. A person can speak with boldness and have, as Larry mentioned, in the beginning have a closed mind about it. Okay, now we're talking about something different. If we speak and we're addressing a situation and we're in a conversation with someone and we're absolutely closed-minded and we're just like shutting them down, that's different. I believe that you could label that being prejudice. But when a person is speaking with boldness and confidence, God's word, that in and of itself is not being prejudiced. That's just being bold and confident in God's word. But as soon as we are closed-minded and we're not interested in hearing anything else, we don't want to study anything else, we're just, it's my way or the highway, even though we say it God's way.
Right.
But when our attitude kind of dictates that, now we've thrown God out of the picture, even though we could still be speaking the truth.
Right.
But we're not doing it because it's God's way. We're now doing it because it's my opinion, or even though it's the truth. but our attitude and is not right. It's not right.
Okay. Other thoughts, John?
I think a lot of it is, it's like Chris is saying, it's our attitude that we come in. I mean, you can read through the Bible about love, 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 and if you don't have love, it means nothing. It's like if someone comes in here, we're talking about situations, if you have the MDR issue, two people walk in here, they've both been divorced, they're both guilty party, they shouldn't be married. Well, I mean, in my opinion, it's like, okay, it's wrong. I was going to say sympathy for them, but it's empathy. And you should care about them. It's like, okay, we know what they need to do. They need to separate, and because they shouldn't be married. And it's just like same as any sin. If the lifestyle of someone, or if they're an alcoholic, or whatever the situation is, we need to have more love and more empathy for them, and not be prejudiced against them. And that's where we need to work on.
Okay, right. Again, this is kind of what I guess. A thought that I would like us to take out of this class is this idea here that an honest man alters his opinion to fit the truth. Where a prejudiced man has an opinion, and when looking at the truth, makes the truth fit that opinion. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the question I asked originally. Do we have an answer? What is the opposite of prejudice?
Honest.
What's that?
Honest. Honesty.
Honesty.
In. Yeah, in God's word, or like John says, a love for one another, and it's like, what's our motive? What's our goal?
So, aren't those opposites right there?
Mm-hmm.
A prejudiced man takes the truth to fit his opinion. He's being prejudiced. Okay, this man has an opinion, but he's going to alter it to
the truth.
To fit the truth. Right? Troy.
I always think of the verse, do not add to or take away from the Word of God. You're not to add anything to it. You're not to take any words or anything out of it. So, We have to change to fit God's word. We don't have God's word changed to fit us. And I think it's saying the same thing right there, that we don't change the truth to fit our opinion. We change ourselves to fit the truth.
Okay. All right. Everybody see that? Any other thoughts, Larry?
Could you say that righteous judgment is the opposite of prejudgment?
Righteous,
not the perfect opposite.
Righteous judgment is the opposite of
prejudgment.
Prejudgment.
See, in a sense, prejudice.
Righteous judgment. Prejudgment. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Prejudice is judging without all the information, making a judgment about someone.
Right. So righteous judgment, what is righteous judgment?
He says, don't judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Okay.
When you have all the information,
okay,
then perhaps there's a judgment to be made. A lot of times there's no judgment to be made even, but, you know, prejudgment doesn't have all the information.
Okay. All right. Where's Troy's verse?
Revelation 22:19.
Okay. All right. Okay, these here are some Bible examples. They were in the text. Nathaniel, John 1:64. Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And referring to Christ, right? What was he throwing everything in, knowing Nazareth and what comes out of there? Christ came out of there. Can anything good come out of there? That's just a prejudgment. Pharisees, Luke 18:9-14. He told the parable. Some of them trusted in themselves, Pharisees, as they were righteous, but yet they viewed others with contempt. Just their attitude, a righteous attitude and contempt for those others. Disciples. So even Christians can have a prejudiced slant on things. 9:26. Trying to associate with the disciples, they were all afraid of him. What's this situation?
Saul.
Going down to Jerusalem. Was he able to associate with the Christians? No, because his reputation, and they knew of it. They had a preconceived idea that this Paul is and what he was doing. Okay? Thoughts? Larry?
I had one on the Nazareth thing, because Jesus tried to do mighty works in Nazareth, but he couldn't do any that would be received. And they said a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. So Jesus couldn't be accepted, because here he was just the son of the carpenter. Is this not Joseph's son and all of this? I think that's very real to us today, because maybe we know someone for a long time and they've changed. Maybe now they're preaching the gospel, or they're an elder or something, and yet someone can't flip their mind, or he's the homeboy,
right,
and we remember him whenever, so whatever he says is not taken with much seriousness.
Seriousness, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's a real example of prejudice that we probably deal with, and the problem is not in that person, the problem is in me and my hearing and my prejudice.
Right. Troy.
Yes. Same way Saul was. Saul had this reputation. He wasn't just a reputation, it was the truth. He was doing these things to these Christians.
Right.
He was taking them and killing them. So it's not just a opinion, but it was a fact. So for him to do a 180 and all of a sudden now be on the side of Christ, well, everybody's going to remember the old guy, and it's going to be quite hard to accept this new changed individual.
Okay, let's keep that thought for a second, Rome, for a little bit. We'll come in, hopefully we can get back to that. Avoid prejudice. Okay, we've already done that. Okay. Help in overcoming prejudice towards others. And some of this stuff I think we've already said. Christ died for all, 1 Timothy 2:6. He gave himself for all. Right? Yes?
Yes?
Who is that? He gave himself for all. Who is all?
Me.
All that accepts him.
What's that?
All that accept Jesus as the Son of God.
Okay. Is that all he gave himself for? He gave himself as a ransom for
every man.
Everyone. Not everybody's going to accept him and get into that relationship that Troy's talking about. But his actions were for everybody. Everybody. Who does that include? I mean, that includes everybody. The good guys, the bad guys, the rich guys, the poor guys, the racial situations, Caucasians, Asians, Filipinos, whoever. You know, doctors, lawyers, janitors, dirty jobs. Somebody's got to do them. I mean, all. Those that have alternative lifestyles. Yes? How do we overcome prejudice towards them? Christ died for them. Okay. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. Is that right? Nor all one free man. I think something got moved in my copying there. There is neither male nor free male. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. My copying got messed up there. Sorry. But again, what is that verse saying? In Christ there is, it's open to everybody. It's open to everybody. And once you are in Christ, who is your equal?
We're all equal.
We're all the same. So that, I mean, that goes to another conversation when we're talking about the congregation, and you have a congregation made up of a conglomerate of people. Would that conglomerate of people associate amongst themselves if they weren't in the church? I mean, if that wasn't a congregation, it was just a bunch of people. I mean, everybody's, you normally, I guess what I'm thinking is you normally associate with people with like likes, like personalities, like occupations, that type of thing. And when you get into the congregation, that just all disappears. When you're in the church, it's everybody. Right? Ephesians 2:11-22, that whole verse down there. You were at one time separate from Christ. You. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. You. You were once separated from Christ. What does that mean? You were in the situation that those people out there are in. You've been fortunate enough to hear the word and accept it and come in. Do they need to hear the word so they can accept it and come in? Who's going to preach? Who's going to teach them out there? Who's going to teach them?
We have.
It's not going to be the Mormons.
We have.
We've got to. But now in Christ Jesus, you were formerly afar off. We are one body. We're both. It talks about the Jew and the Greek. I mean, back then it was Jews and Greeks or the barbarians, but now everybody is one in one body. Thoughts? Comments? Okay, flipping it around. Prejudice towards the church. People will call us in this room closed-minded, narrow-minded, bigots, unreasonable. I think that's going back to maybe the thought that Chris was having, I'm not sure exactly. Which makes it what? Somebody calls you closed-minded, John. and you're dealing with that person, how do you overcome that?
Well, you and I have families that none of them are Christians, and we've been called religious fanatics, but what we do is we keep on telling what the Word says. So I don't know what else we do.
Okay.
We just keep preaching the Word.
Okay. Okay. Any other thoughts? Troy?
I've heard a lot of people say that you guys think you're the only ones going to heaven.
Never heard that.
You've never heard that one.
Never heard that one.
But all we are doing is our very best to follow God's Word. We are not trying to adapt God's Word to fit our lifestyle. No,
that goes back to that honest man.
The final judge there, and he's going to decide whether you get to come in the gates or you're going to be turned away. So all we are doing is our very best, like Chris was saying, to do it God's way, so that we will be accepted on that judgment day.
Okay, exactly. And what I guess I want us to think about is us knowing that there's that opinion out there of us. When you're dealing with somebody, just keep that in mind, and how can I best present God's Word in a way in which I can try to get rid of that attitude of, oh wow, you guys are the saved ones. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved of God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed of the word, accurately handling the word of truth. So the more we know God's word and the better we know God's word, the better we can deal with situations. The rich, the poor, the farmer, you know, whoever, the lawyer, the doctor, we need to be mature Christians, not ones, we need to be mature Christians who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good from evil. And this is back in the context where the Hebrew writer is telling, or is after the one being immature, and having been a Christian for an X amount of time, but long enough to which they should have been able to handle the word, they were not able to handle the word. We need to be mature as Christians, constantly growing. 2 Peter 3:14 through 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in that. We need to be growing in that. Okay. Larry, did you have a thought? I noticed you kind of flipping, did something in there.
Oh, I was noticing the things on page 104. He puts several things in a category of things that are simply new methods and ideas, and I think he's got some strange ones in there.
I kind of thought so too, and I was kind of going to gleam over that. Okay, we're about out of time. We need to be in the Word. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know it. Know it. Know the Word. Know the Word. Know how to handle it. And that will make us free. We need to be obedient to the truth, and it purifies our soul. There's several scriptures that he has on the top of 103 that go down through here. Believe the truth, obey the truth, love the truth, teach the truth, live the truth, rightly handle the truth, and just scriptures that go with those. If we are practicing the Word of God, if we have the right attitude as we handle the Word of God, hopefully we're that honest person that alters our opinions to fit the truth. Are there things in the scripture that are hard for me being anyone, to alter my opinion to fit? are the things in the scripture that are hard for me, again, me being anyone in the church, that are hard for me to alter my opinion to fit the truth. I mean, just some of the stuff we've just recently gone through. Marriage and divorce. You know, that situation. You know, we've just gone through the drinking situation. I mean, there's things that come up that I might have a preconceived idea, or it's part of my lifestyle or something like that. And I need to let the truth dictate my actions and what I do. I guess that's where I want to leave that class, this class. Any comments, any thoughts? I think prejudice is something that we kind of all have in there somewhere, that we just need to be aware that it's there and just handle it properly in dealing with different situations. Again, anything? Chris?
I believe it's important for us to realize that we could be wrong regarding spiritual matters and the truth, and we need to be confident in our beliefs and in our faith, but at the same time, we could be wrong, and in that attitude will help us to not be as so prejudiced when we're discussing God's word with other people, to be able to have that attitude of to open God's word and hear what they have to say and try to understand their understanding of the scriptures,
right?
And try to come to that together, as opposed to just being closed minded and saying this is just the way it is and
Yeah. Anything else? Thank you for your input. Appreciate it.